You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wondering.
This is a very romantic song about a one-night stand. Yeah, see, now the song would be like this. It would be, you know, much different. But back in the...
Well, you could sing it now.
You could sing it. But that's these strangers in the night. When you think about it, it's like, he's talking about a one-night... It's so romantic.
Exchanging glances, strangers in the night. I like the old stuff, though.
Yeah. And you know
like
what's...
Mac the Knife? Yeah, one of my favorites.
There goes Mac the Knife. Oh, the shark. Two lonely people.
Two lonely people, we were strangers in the night. Up to the moment when we set our first
stick, man. There goes Mac the Knife.
Why are you listening to this?
Oh,
this is like... Something's wrong in your life, music.
No, I was putting up the bumper music for today, and I thought, let's do,
Do Mac the Knife.
It's on right now.
And he keeps it out of sight when the shark bites.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if you ever saw Louis Armstrong... He was awesome. He had his eyes bulging out of his head when he played his trumpet, and he had that, listen to his voice. Satchmo, snapping his fingers down in New Orleans.
You're thinking of the guy that had his eyes bugged out, Gillespie, or...
No, Louis Armstrong, when he'd play that trumpet, man, your eyes are bulging out of your head.
I thought that was more Gillespie.
Dizzy Gillespie?
Yeah, with his eyes bulging. You look at pictures of him, his eyes are bulging.
Hold on, let me get a picture. But Louis Armstrong had this incredible smile and that scratchy voice, and you'd see him get interviewed. It seemed to be a happy guy.
He's like the modern day George Foreman. Like, you know, George Foreman. Oh, I didn't mean to hit him so hard. I hope he's fine. And, you know, golly gee, that was just, I feel so bad for hitting him.
A modern-day George Foreman? George Foreman, who would know that the guy would make an absolute killing selling... What did he sell? The Foreman grill? What did he sell?
The grill.
Yeah. George Foreman. Internet sensation. Satchmo. No, you know, I grew up, probably like you, Mike, I grew up on that... Well, I don't know. Your dad... Vietnam, he'd have been a little bit younger than my dad, but I mean, that was the music that was in my home was, you know, Sinatra. My mom used to listen to this guy called Ray Conniff and his orchestra. Oh my God, it used to drive me crazy. But my dad was like a Vic Damone, Sinatra, Johnny Mathis.
Dizzy Gillespie, known for his cheeks bulging like a bullfrog. So you're thinking of Dizzy Gillespie.
No, I don't know Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah, if you look at a picture of Dizzy Gillespie, he's known for his cheeks weren't even attached to his jaw. There's no way.
I'm going to send you a picture of Louis Armstrong. And Dizzy Gillespie's a jazz guy, okay? And I don't...
Yeah, but when you
I'm not,
cheeks
bulging... I'm not a jazz guy. Like, jazz, like, sucks. You have all these people that are trying to be cool. You know, you can't dance to it.
Older jazz is good.
No, it's not. It sucks. It all sucks. And you have all these people
You know what? I'm not going to argue with the whole uneducated.
You have all these people that are... Yeah, they're bobbing their head and going, they're like... They're all bobbing their head like, this is so cool.
William Shakespeare couldn't even write English. He sucked too. God damn it.
He sucked too.
He couldn't even write a play.
You're right. Like who? Yeah.
See.
Let's read a lot of Shakespeare. That's always exciting.
So everybody listening right now, I don't know why he's doing this. he's doing this because someone probably called him out.
No!
So he's got to get his knuckles on the ground.
No!
And pretend to have
you,
big.
Hey, have you read, you're a reader, or have you ever read a complete Shakespeare play?
Yes, Macbeth.
One of my favorites. You're such a liar.
I'm just serious.
I don't believe you read the complete play. All right.
Why?
I don't know.
Old English?
Yes.
No.
Thank you. In the more modern,
it's hard to read. His style of writing was hard to read.
Thank you. Finally, some sanity in the midst of the show.
But
Dizzy Gillespie picture.
But I showed you a picture of Dizzy Gillespie.
I'm looking at it. Okay, I'm sending you a picture of Louis Armstrong. Okay.
Well, I know what Louis Armstrong looks like.
No, I don't think you do.
Know what Dizzy Gillespie looks like.
I've never heard of Dizzy Gillespie. That's why I know that I can't be thinking it.
I know. Because we don't like jazz. I got it.
Oh, really? We're going to go there today? So early in the program.
Wait a second. Don't push me into the corner and then say, well, you're in the corner, Mike.
I'm the one that got pushed in the corner today. I'm going to get pushed in the corner by saying that, oh, knuckle dragon, and all I'm just saying is that...
Don't let him think that he's the well-read Jew guy, too. He knows the thing. He just plays the role. You never know what personality I'm getting with him.
Okay, I want to...
Yeah, you call me Sybil.
I'm not being Sybil?
You're not being Sybil. You're right.
You're not being Sybil.
You're being Sybil with an S-Y-B. Sybil.
I know. Okay, so let's talk about something. What have you been doing the last 3 days? We didn't talk to you on Tuesday because you had a doctor's appointment. What was the doctor's appointment for?
Oh, ear, nose, and throat.
And what were you doing?
ENT. So he stuck a frickin' thing, numbed my nose with some lidocaine.
Yikes.
And I was like, oh, great.
Here we go.
Fun times for all. You know, the nurse was great, man. She's like, oh, she was hysterical. Nurse April. And, she said that. You know, you didn't call me Nurse April. How about if I just call you April? Because if I call you Nurse April, it just kind of sounds like, I don't know, kind of strange. How about April? So, Nurse April, or April, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I gotta do this. I'm like, sure, whatever, I know. They all say that, but then they laugh when they do it. So then they spray your nose with lidocaine that numbs it, and then your head goes back, and he takes a little itty-bitty fiber optic thing, and it's long, dude. I mean, it was like as long as my arm, it seemed like. And he controls it, and then he goes, you know, little thing controls with a little dial, and up the nose they went. And I get to watch it live on TV.
So what are they looking for? What's the problem?
We're looking for correlation of nosebleeds and headaches. Oh. Like what? Maybe it's a blood vessel that's on the surface that they can cauterize, and they can stop it.
Right.
But like he said, after he did it, he goes, no, you're not that guy. You don't have any, there's nothing, no blood vessels on the surface. I can tell that, we're not. So he is upstairs from my neurologist. So he went downstairs, talked to my neurologist. So now I have an MRI coming up, and they're going to do an MRI with the dye and without dye to kind of figure out what's going on with my brain. What is happening?
When do you get the nosebleeds?
I got them during that whole week when I wasn't talking much. I think I just got back from the trip. Because it's close to, the end of the 3 months.
Right.
It's hurting you, right? So I was getting nosebleeds in conjunction with my headaches.
Hey.
And I was getting a lot of them. And it was a lot of blood. You know, I'm not worried about it. My wife's freaking out because every time she goes to the bathroom, she looks down in the waste bucket and it looks like a small animal just got murdered. you know, because there's blood in there. Like, she's like, she comes out, she's like, did you have a nosebleed? Yeah. Well, why did you say something? What am I supposed to say? Again, nosebleed?
I got a nosebleed.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know I was supposed to inform you every time I had a nosebleed. She's like, that's a lot of blood. No. You got a lot of blood in you.
Did you say, no, it's really not?
No, and we joked around. That's what I was like. No, I mean, I've seen a lot more blood come out of a person than that. Don't worry. And I know how to make the blood come out quicker than that.
Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah, so take it easy over there, killer.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just because it was on the white, it was all, and there was a lot of blood in the white little Kleenex and nose and, you know, toilet paper and stuff.
Right.
But she was worried. And then, like, yeah, whatever.
Hold on, email question. Hey, Mac, how does Gunner stop his nosebleeds? How do you stop your nosebleeds?
Because I'm so... My body's so disciplined, I just think
you,
it.
You will yourself?
I will
to
it.
Shut it down.
I will it to stop, and it stops. No, what I do is I just press. I press, like, in my nose. Squeeze the top. Or stuff Kleenex and then got, like... And I try and get the big chunk of Kleenex, so I'm not the kind of guy that, like, tears it off to be discreet. I like having, like, 6 inches of Kleenex hanging out of my nose. So when I look at my daughter and my wife, they look at me like, you're an idiot. I love that look in my face when they get that look. Like, you're an
That's
idiot.
Stupid. Well,
and then I flare it all out.
I thought you wanted to know. I thought you wanted to know when I had a nosebleed, right?
Yeah. This is the flag indicator of nosebleed. So it looks almost like a clown pulling out a white handkerchief out of his nose and then forgot it there. So I got it all flittered out.
Hey, what do we call the thing that we put in the chamber of a rifle? It's a plastic. It's a white plastic thing that sticks out of the ejector port. What do we call that?
Flag safety.
Flag safety. Flag indicator. I was like, yeah. I know that. I know that. Flag indicator, flag safety. So it's the same thing. So you were informing them.
Yeah. Something. I like that. That thing that we put in the chamber of a rifle.
Pretty easy to see
hey,
that everybody was complying.
You know how you forget, like, some of the simplest things, like you just did, like the flag safety, or you forget the name, right?
Right.
But so you correlate. You know, like, oh, you know that thing, like, you know that. So, funny story. There was an accident here in town not too long ago, 377, and someone said, where is it at? And I said, oh, it's off of 377 down by that, that building, and I go, I couldn't even think of the name of it. I said, you know, where all the dead people go.
Ooh.
And they were dying at the funeral.
Right.
And so, they were dying laughing, man. I mean, it was like the biggest joke ever. And it was a bunch of cops, too. And they're like, hey, Mike, you've been down there where that, you know, that dead, where the dead people go? You know? I'm like, ah, oh, funny guy. And well, they talk like that. Hey, you know that place where they, what's the name of it? Where they take the beans and then they roast them and make water and they make, they pour this dark liquid in your cup. What's that place called? The coffee shop, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, funny guy. I mean, because now it's like, Gunner's got a weakness. He forgets what the word funeral home means.
Yeah, so what, we're going to make fun of our veterans now? Is that the way you...
Yeah, I got a brain injury.
Yeah. Oh, so
defending your right to make fun of me.
Yeah, that's
irony.
That's funny, boys? Interesting. What are you guys going to find?
I defend the freedom so you can make fun of my injury.
What are you guys going to make fun of tomorrow? Some kind of physical disability I have, huh?
Dude, I make fun of myself more than anybody.
I know, but I love laying it on it. Oh, so that's how we're going to do it today?
Oh, I do too. I do like, I put it on real thick. Like, oh, you know, like, and then they turn like, oh, I'm so sorry. And you're like, nah, I'm just kidding. And I make more fun of myself than anybody. And they're like, you're an ass. And then you come back right away and you try it again. Like, I'm an ass. Why'd you have to go there? And normally they're like, screw you, man. You're not
going to
do
that. Yeah, no, you're not going to do that to me again.
Dude, don't give me the puppy dog, guys.
There you go. There you go. The
So here's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Kind of interesting.
Ooh.
So I meet a total stranger. young girl, not going to give too much detail, but young gal, we started chatting, and lo and behold, and I ain't bullshitting, within like 10 minutes of talking to her, we're talking about self-esteem or situational awareness and how all of that leads into, how it all leads into one, you know, how being aware, being confident, being all this stuff leads into, you know, all these positives. So within, 15 minutes, I know that she was physically, mentally abused as a child, by a family member, sexually abused, in and out of bad relationships, married twice, one to a Marine, you know, that didn't go well. The result is she has a 9-year-old daughter and it's her world. It's the only reason she's exists, as she says. And we talked about, you know, her features, the hair, the nose ring, the lip ring, you know, and I explained to her, you know, that's that symbol of identity. And you want to be identified as a strong, independent woman. And, you know, you don't have to go through all of that, though. You are just because you project this. It's who you are. She's thinking like I'm a fucking mind reader, you know, some calm. And so we start talking about it. So I talked to her about the trauma thing. And I said, you know, a buddy of mine, we do this thing. And we've talked about trauma. There are all different types of trauma. And the trauma that you, of course, live with every day of your childhood and the things that are affected by that. And, you know, has anybody ever told you to reverse that way of thinking of the victimization? Because that's how she was coming across. And where it is, you maybe the reason why you did that was to provide an opportunity for your 9-year-old daughter to be a woman that you didn't have the opportunity to be. But now your 9-year-old daughter will reflect that and she will be a stronger person. She will go out and do great things in this world when she gets old of age because she had a mother that understood and had been through that trauma, been through the fire, and realized what it takes to be, one, a good person and a good mother, but more importantly, how to raise a young girl. And it was like, you see this light go off, like, oh my God. And I, you know, like I told her, you're doing it right. You're shielding her, you're protecting her from this type of abuse, you know. And then it came out to us, I asked her, I said, have you ever talked to a group of people? She goes, no, you know, and I said, not a group of people that have already been affected by this because and that's what I hate about like alcohol or not, AA or NA, you know, it's like you're already talking to a bunch of addicts, people that's already been affected. I'm in a room with a bunch of people that have already suffered trauma. You know, of the same sort. You know, so I take a guy and he's an amputee. I put him in a room with a bunch of other amputees. Why? Oh, because they can relate to him. Bullshit. Why? Trauma's trauma's trauma. It doesn't matter. You know, and in this case, what really kind of bugs me is the social stigma of, oh, we want people to talk to people that have already been through this. No, what this young lady needs to be in front of is middle school girls. Proactive, you know, to preventive. Hey, this is the type of relationship you need to look for. This is what normal looks like. If it doesn't look like this, you're not in a normal relationship. You don't have a normal family. You need to let somebody know these things aren't normal. And as she said, you know, being a young girl, she thought this was the world. And again, I can't understand that. You can't understand that. People of trauma, that live that type of trauma, they that's the norm to them. Until they're shown a new normal, then they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So what's missing is the fact that, and that's like we talk about suicide. Suicide's not an option. It is. It is an option, you idiot. Until you take it off the table and make it an option. By saying it's not an option, it doesn't make it not an option. That's the idiotic thing that I hate about it. Let's start a campaign.
No, all you did was make yourself feel better, right?
No,
but you're not the person affected. But like for me to look at my sister and say, "Hey, suicide's not an option." No, when is her response is, "Hey, fuck you, man. What do you know? Do you want to play Whose Dick Is Bigger with Pang? Right? Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Sorry. But, you know, suicide...
It deals with everything, though.
I agree with you, Mike, but suicide is an option when you look at it and it makes the pain go away. And for people that have never experienced soul-searing pain or physical pain that they can't live with anymore, then they can't understand that. And so you saying, people that say shit like that, it's the same as God has a purpose in this. Yeah. Oh, he needed him more than you did. Oh, the heart of steel goes through the hottest fire. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Get it out of my face.
Yeah.
So what happened? So you're talking to this girl, and?
So we had a really great conversation, and it really kind of, and you know, so she, at the end of this conversation, 15 minutes, total stranger, never knew each other until that day we met. And she looks at me, she says, you know, I had never, except for close family members, never told anybody what I've told you. And I'm like, but it was kind of weird because I saw it. You know, you can see the pain and then you can see the hiding, how she was hiding behind it. So then it took those open-ended questions of, you know, not like, how does it make you feel? No, more like, you know, we were talking about like directive. And like, she did it. She understood. She's like, you know, you're right. This is something I have to wear. This is something I got to live with. But you know what? It's not going to define. But it's not going to define me. I'm going to define it. And that's what she left with. And she came out with that on her own. And she was like, you could see it. Like, wow, that was cool. And then her friend was like, you should be a therapist. No. No, that wouldn't work out either. Because my therapy would be totally against everything of scientific belief.
You should be a therapist. You
know? Wait a minute, hold on a second.
Here's the more real question. How long have you been a therapist? Since you were what, a sergeant? Staff sergeant? Since you...
Yeah.
Right?
I was an NCO.
Yeah. Since you started helping people figure it out. Right? And get through stuff. And coaching human beings that live in the real world that have to perform and have to put up a number every day and have to achieve. You've been a therapist for 20-something years.
Longer than that, yeah. But with a heavy hand.
That's okay.
I'm not the therapist that, oh, please tell me how to make you feel. No, it's like, hey, suck it up, buttercup. What the hell is wrong with you? You're not the only person. What makes you think that you're special? Oh, okay, here, look, I'm with you. I'm angry. We're angry. Now what? Where do we go from here?
No, I'm special.
Let's
because...
start on the road to solving the problem.
I'm special because...
about it.
I'm special because... I'm special, Mike, because, you know, You know, I got mine in combat. That's what makes me special. That's why I get a pass. That's why nobody gets to second guess me and why I can't cope with it. Because I got my trauma in combat, right? You just got yours because you were raped. That's different.
No, they're all like that, though. And that's what bugs us. You don't get, you know, and that's what therapy does. I think therapy, to some degree, what they do is, it's a stagnant pool, and they just want you to stay in that pool. They don't want you to get better. Because, you know, your sessions, you go, and then you talk about what you talked about. So what's happened, what's prevailed since the last time we sat down? Well, you know, I lost my car keys. Oh, so how did that make you feel? Well, it made me feel...
It brought back all my feelings of incompetence and inward focus and how inadequate I am as a human being.
Yeah,
oh,
as a human being, quit talking about being a victim. So if you're listening to me right now, give up on the victimization shit and move on. You see, we're a victim. Okay. I'm sorry. That's it. Now, let's move forward. But I want to talk about being a victim. Okay, what else you want to talk about? It hurt. Oh, I'm sorry about you had to go through that pain. Okay, let's move on. But I want to... No, you want to stay in this perpetual stagnant pool of shit and never get better. Fine. Stay there. Have a good life. But I don't want to ever hear from you again about how your life is horrible and this, because you're not willing to leave. You like to be in a victim. Victims love victimization. They love it. Why? We identify victims. We put them on TV. We give them awards. We give them commendations. We give them things. We give them the key to the city. You know, it goes back to, like, the best thing ever was, you know, I remember watching a movie one day and someone said, there was like an old movie and it was like probably a John Wayne or a Clint Eastwood, and they're giving a Purple Heart, and the comment was, I don't want that stupid badge or that stupid medal. That just tells me how stupid I was the day and how good the enemy got. An enemy marksmanship badge. You know? Hey, I'm glad you got a Purple Heart. I'm glad you got this injury. I got, but you know what? Quit living with it. Move on. Don't let it define you. You define it. That's how that works.
Okay, so what are we going to call the Moses heavy-handed therapy? That's what we're going to...
No, not Moses. Magic Mike Bauer.
Magic. No, heavy-handed got to be in there. Magic Mike's heavy hand.
Or... feel like you haven't been slapped. Step inside. Yeah, I mean, it's like the magic.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. How good did you feel, though, after the conversation? Did you personally feel?
I feel really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know what? I helped someone out in just the smallest way. Like I said, I didn't help her. I helped her come to the realization that she already knew. She just probably needed to hear it from somebody.
She did. She needed the affirmation of somebody else who's gone through something similar to tell her what she's feeling is true and valid. And from that point, you need to go that way. And we don't have enough.
Yeah.
Don't ever go back. Yeah. Don't go that way. Don't go down the road of how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Go that way. Do something with it. Make it great. Affect other people. You know, let me just tell you, my interview with Rudy's niece was awesome. And Mike, the more that you and I think go down, and it's interesting that we've had similar experiences this week. When I told her, so we're talking towards the end of the interview, and her father committed suicide. Okay. And so, she's now a country music artist. And so we're talking about that and about the pain. And I said, look, you have more than enough reasons to, you know, to turn inward and not be productive and use it as excuse. And I said, but, you know, you know, you've chosen not to do that. And she said, well, my uncle told me about your radio station. So I started listening, you know, to it. And so she started using words like, you know, I've learned to coexist with this pain. And I know that it's never, and so she started saying all these things and like, you know, my heart did the Grinch thing where it grows bigger when he hears the Who people singing. Because she's not a military person. She's just a regular human being. And the things that we talk about resonate with her. Right. And then I said this, I said, hey, and just so you know, you're a member of our tribe, right? You're his niece. You're a member. And she said to me, she said, I know you can't see this, but I just got the biggest grin on my face when you said that. And people are looking, and this is what I say to veterans, and I said this in the first hour this morning, because I use her song coming out of the first break. And I use that song because there's a whole lot of people that could use our, one, experience with trauma, and two, our heavy hand, but not a very heavy hand, the way Mike's talking about. They could use our experience as veterans to steady themselves and point themselves in a positive direction. And we've got to get out of this inward focus and say, yeah, We experienced trauma. Guess what? We fucking signed up for it. We chose it. Most of these other people
didn't.
But not
any veteran.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of veterans that suck it up, man. There's a lot of veterans.
I agree. But to me, we are a great resource for these other people like you were. She just happened to bump into you. And we need to be mindful of that. There's all these people that are affected by trauma that we could help because the truth we know. You're not getting over it. Okay? If you're a drinker, you gotta stop. Because you're not going to deal with PT, with trauma and booze it up and have it come out all right. It doesn't work like that, right? You can learn to coexist with it. All the things we talk about that we know to be true, when you tell those to people, Mike, what do they say? Yep, yep, yep. Who are you? Where did you come from? Am I in like the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Are you Clarence with a cowboy hat on? Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell is this? And it's one of the most exciting things that I never anticipated about All Marine Radio. There's a lot of things that have happened that are really cool that I love. I would tell you the coolest thing that I never thought would happen is this, that All Marine Radio as an exporter of how to coexist with trauma and how to and all the different people that are out there that we can help as veterans and then what it does for us. It's a healing, it's a peeling piece. It's a good piece for us. And I like it a lot.
Yeah. But who else talks like us? The thing is...
Nobody talks about this.
No one else talks like us. No one else is doing what we're talking about. Everybody...
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, and maybe, just maybe, it works out. But it's got to be a whole lot better than what you're doing right now, which is shit.
Maybe it works out by accident? I don't think so.
No, but it takes the effort and everything else. I wish you would have told me you were going to talk to Peyton because I had some questions of my own.
You want? We can bring her. It's not like she won't come back on. She'll come back on.
Yeah, I want to actually talk to her about her experience because I was at I went to the Marine Corps Junior ROTC tryouts for the shooting team this week.
Right.
As a guest, and I talked to, you know, Scott, who runs it. But,
right,
you know, and I told Scott, and I told the it was kind of like their leadership, the Marine Corps Junior ROTC program, guys and gals that were there. And I had an opportunity to speak to them every now and then. And what I told them that night was, you know, so every time I come here, I'm so impressed with your professionalism, your maturity. I mean, everything about you guys. I mean, I watch these 12 people that come in, prospective people that want to join the team, and they go through this process, and I listen to you guys, the guys that have been on the team for a couple years, coach them and give them advice and give them the encouragement, and it's reminiscent of when I was at true professional organizations in the Marine Corps and the same type of information being passed. I said, you don't understand. You guys are 17, 16 years old, but you act, the way you project yourself, you are way more mature in any category than people that I've come across in the Marine Corps. I mean, it was amazing to me. And one of the young gals, she put her uniform on, and she came back to my blind side, and I looked at her again, and I said, you know, what rank is that? She said, oh, it's second lieutenant, sir. And I said, okay. And I said, how's the rank structure going? She goes, well, it's two of the circles is a first lieutenant, and then three is a captain, and then something gold is major, and it goes up there. And I said, you know what? I said, and I look at Scott, and I said, Scott, I've seen other junior RTC programs. And I said, young lady, you stand in front of me today with that silver on your collar. You carry yourself more than just about any lieutenant that I've ever met. You know, a real lieutenant. You know, with college education and all the school behind them. It's so amazing to me. I wish I would have had the opportunity. But again, we had another, there's a young boy that moved up here from, down in southern Texas. Because of the opportunity that was going to be allowed to him to shoot for this group of, people because they're top of the nation. I mean, they hold 1 and 2, one in the nation, and they've been doing this for 5 years in a row. They just got some Navy award 5 years in a row where they basically can send people to the service academies without getting congressmen or senators' endorsements. They have that kind of pull at Granbury High School because of this team. You know, it's just crazy.
Right.
So my question would have been to her is, can you recall what was yours? I mean, she got to be a math star, so she did something. You know, what do you look back to? I just was curious. I mean, did she have the same type of, experience with her junior ROTC than, you know, some of these ladies here? Because these girls all go, I mean, just about every one of these girls go to college. You know, on a scholarship.
Yeah, where does that come from? What was it about that? No, she talked about...
I told Scott.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's about the Marine Corps traits and the values that Scott, because Scott is just like us. Scott, what he does is that he never wavers. He's always the same guy. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Casey. A true professional, a true Marine, by every definition. And the kids there, as they call them, kiddos. The kiddos, it's just amazing to me that he does what he can do. You know, it's like the Pied Piper, man. Crazy.
And most of these kids, you know, don't go on to active duty military service. I mean, they go, you know, and they pursue other things. And so you touch their lives.
They got three graduating this summer from MCRD San Diego. One's a guy and two are squad leaders. All three have been meritorious in Marine. Pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. And again, you know, in this structure, you know, but Mike and I clearly, we get excited about when the light flickers, right? And you see a kid who might not have ever been touched by somebody like that. When that light goes on, it's the best feeling in the world. And then, you know, then it's like, get out of their way. They have it in them. You see it. They don't know it, though. And guys like Scott, you know, they're all over this country, and they bring it out of young people all the time. Coaches do it. All over the nation.
Not all of them.
No, I agree.
Very
with you.
Rare.
Not all of them. But I would tell you this, you know, when you, a lot of times talking to Marines, you hear it like, why'd you join the Marine Corps? Well, I had a coach who told me that, you know, that if I wasn't going to college, that I should look at the military and that I'd be suited for the Marine Corps. Was he a Marine? Yep, he was a former Marine. And that's why I checked out the Marine Corps and here I am. You know, you had these people that touched people's lives. And it's very cool. But the trauma thing to me is the more and more I do it and the more I have these experiences, it's incredibly exciting because that's why, you know, I said in the first hour, we need to get our shit in one sock, right? Because there's people out there that you can help and it is the best feeling when you tell them you're okay. All that stuff's okay. You can't go through that and not have it stick to you. You're okay. That's normal for you.
Right.
You're a part of our tribe, the trauma tribe. You know? It's okay. I am. Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, how are you going to get back to Normalsville with Clark and Lois? I mean, come on. It ain't happening. You're with us now.
Yeah. You're right.
And so... But they don't hear that from therapists. It's not what they say. And that's why I believe in it. I believe, look, I'm not a therapist. I'm not. But I can give some life advice. And I like Mike, I believe in the heavy hand. It's like not just, oh, okay, well, whatever you think. No, it ain't that way. Go do that. Go be productive. Go be something. Go achieve. This is not a disability. Okay? That's the whole concept of post-traumatic growth. Like, wait a minute, why did all these dudes experience the same thing and they went that way? And what are you doing here? Fucking move, man. So
yeah,
no, I love it. And but again, I would say, you know, you encounter people, and depending on who you encounter, right? You have all the tickets. You have all the tickets to be a piece of shit, right? To not be productive, yep. to curl up in a ball, and you have every ticket punched. Go ahead, right? And Mike, you do.
Yeah, and no one's gonna give you any heat for it, man.
Right, it's but like, you get one lap around the fucking track. You get one lap, only one, and you don't decide when you get off it, unless you commit suicide. Okay, is this how you want to spend your lap? No, there's so much good out there. There's so much shit out there. Get out there and go, man. Go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, it's to me, it's almost like a narcotic that when you bump into somebody and you begin that discussion, Mike, and you know where it's going to go and you see them responding, it's happy time, right?
Yeah.
Happy.
It's really, because... In some way, yeah. Even though they're different experiences, but you have something in common.
Oh, way more in common than you think.
Yeah.
You just got your trauma a different way.
So for her, yeah, but for her, that was like, you know what? To hear that, like, you know what? No, you're normal.
Who is
you're stronger because you can talk about it. And you can joke, you know, now laugh about it, joke about it, make fun of yourself.
Right, and
you know,
and
because what's the other option?
Woe to me. But can you imagine her experience? She's just rolling around. She bumps into this dude with his cowboy hat on, and it strikes up a conversation, and it lands with a thud, and it changes her day. I am okay. Who was that dude? Who was that dude? Who was that masked man? Was it John the Baptist rolled into my life? I didn't even know it. What the hell? And it's just, it is awesome. We have to find a way to export that. And I don't know what we do with it, but it's all I think about now. It's all I think about. And I'll tell you what, it started with Mike and I had conversations about, it started with two important realizations about living with, post-traumatic stress. One, you're not alone, man. And again, my example in my own home is my sister. Okay. That's a big shadow that she casts over the family when you want to start whining about your life. Okay. So mindful at two. And then the second major thing is when you begin to help somebody. So Mike and I were talking about that. So, and then the first tangible experience was in that context, being in Alabama, sitting in Luke and Emma's home, right? We're talking about, we don't have the market cornered on this. All kinds of people go through it. And then Emma shares with us something. And being so thankful that we weren't being whiny-ass bitches about our combat experiences because somebody else that has an equivalent experience would have been sitting there going, listen to these clowns just whining about their lives. But because we think about this stuff, and we're not geniuses or anything like this, but we do think about it.
Well, speak for yourself.
She then says something, and leaving that night, again, it was another Grinch-like experience. So happy that in that course of the conversation, she felt comfortable enough to share that with us, and she identified with us. We share that now. And so then you have another experience like that with Peyton. Then you have another experience like you have, and it's all of a sudden you're looking around going, wait a minute, there's a calling here, boys and girls. We can help other people. We can turn our own experience into something better and good. Let's fucking kick it in the ass. Let's fucking go. Let's do it. So.
Yeah.
Email, Mac, you need to settle the fuck. No, let me just tell you, you see so much bad and so much pain come out of some of this stuff that when you begin, and you can look at Mike and I haven't talked to Mike since Tuesday when sent a text message, hey, there's only 9 minutes to kill. I'll talk to you on Thursday. Yeah, okay. So he goes about his merry way. I go about my merry way, and then we intersect with very, very similar experiences. Okay, Not contrived, not rehearsed. Hey, let's talk about this today. None of it. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get Peyton. We'll get Peyton back on the phone. I want to get Soldier back on. He wrote an article that
I've been talking to him about some other stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, he wrote an article about the
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he wrote the article about the Medal of Honor stuff. Sergeant Chapman was his wife received his posthumous Medal of Honor. Pretty interesting article that he wrote.
Right.
But it has to do with the infighting between in the special ops community over the Medal of Honors that have been presented in the last 2 months.
I know.
And but again, you know, Mike and I have talked about, and again, I'm not a fan, but let me tell you, when you see the assets that special operators have to do reconnaissance before they go someplace, for them to sit down a CH-47 on top of a Al Qaeda position, you can see where the anxiety comes from the Air Force special operators and the Army special operators. What the fuck, dude? You know, what the fuck? So anyway, he wrote a pretty really interesting article, but that's the second thing I'd like to talk to him. There's another thing you and I talked about that I'd like to talk to him about. So main thing. All right, what else you got going on today? So when did you meet this girl? Yesterday?
No. Tuesday. Why didn't we talk Tuesday?
Because
Tuesday was last time we talked.
Why didn't we talk? Was Peyton's interview on Tuesday? Yeah, I think Peyton's interview was on Tuesday, and it ran about an hour. Today's Thursday. It ran about an hour and 40 minutes with the breaks and stuff in there.
Dude, I don't remember. It was a while. It was probably Monday. Monday after I talked to you.
All right. How did you even meet her?
Just probably... being at the right time at the right place.
You said you just and looked up and said, "Hi, how you doing?"
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
I see you harboring some pain. You want to talk about it? You think I'm fucking joking, man?
You're walking down the street with your.
But I talk to a lot of people
with your divining rod.
I'm always talking. I'm always talking a lot of people though.
No. No, let me tell you, that stuff is, it makes your entire day, you know, it makes your entire day.
Yeah.
And I think more, we need to somehow get a form. I was thinking about writing an article for the Gazette or Leatherneck, talking about, you know, trauma helpers. I don't know, you know, Team Rubicon, veterans going to natural disasters. Well, look, I don't know what team we'd form, but look, trauma team or whatever. I give it a stupid name, but look, in your community, you can help with other people with trauma, and you don't need to be a therapist. You need to be encouraging.
Right.
You need to spread the understanding that we have, and that's an incredible gift. And the thing is, nobody you and I have talked about this a lot ad nauseum, but you know, I get it from my goddamn gunny. In 1993, hey, sir, you know you're never getting over this. What do you mean? Right?
Right.
Jeremiah gets it from a Vietnam veteran and says, hey, you got to keep the monkeys in the cage. There is so much wisdom in this stuff that we get, but, you know, most of us, do it in our own orbit, or we do it internally here. And there's a wider audience waiting for us, boys, and girls, and that's what excites me, that wider audience that you and I have begun to dabble in. It's pretty cool because they don't hear any of this shit. They're just going to see the therapist, right? Their version of the VA,
yeah.
Right? That's telling them to go to group and how do you feel and how does that make you feel and how does that make you feel? How does that make me feel? Exactly. I want somebody with the heavy hand that says, all right, we ain't talking about your feelings today. We're going to talk about what we're going to do about it, how we're going to make this better. That's what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get
the problem is, too many times in life, I tell this to Tina all the time. God, I don't know how many times. I said, you know, the problem is you think life is full of choices. really isn't. It's when you think that there's, when you get to a path in the road, you think that you have like five or six choices. You don't. You always have two. Always. The right and the wrong.
Whoa.
The right being, you know, move on. Move on with your life. Do something great with it. Quit dwelling with the history, the past. That's the bad decision. That's the one we don't want to make. You know? So it's always, that's the biggest problem. We think that we have more than one decision, one choice in life. You don't. You get two. The right and the wrong. And the right is always, it's got the key words like positivity, moving forward, goals, you know, all of the good, intangible stuff. You want to stay away from the bad. The stuff that, you know, pity, victimization, you know, things like that. Move on. Get on, get outside, go do something. But we don't.
Let me read you an email. It's again, I don't rightly know that we know what we're tapped into, but I think we kind of do. The email's entitled A Tsunami, and it's from Luke's mom, Libby, who listens to the program now. Mac and Mike. And then it fans out to all the people involved in these people's lives. You are truly evangelizing. Thanks to you both, Libby. Right now, Libby asked Lou, because he was behaving differently, how she found out about All Marine Radio, according to Luke, is he said, hey, what's going on with you? And he said, I started listening to this radio show. And so Libby said, what is it? And so being a good mom, Libby decided to take a listen. But and so now Libby is a listener. But she's seen the difference in her son that
mm-hmm.
as her son found people in his tribe that spoke to him, as opposed to going to the VA and getting your bag of nine drugs and going to group therapy that doesn't seem to help.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm not bashing on group therapy because for some people it works, but it's not the, you know, I just don't see what getting around a bunch of people feeling sorry for yourselves makes. I just don't get it.
Well, they'll tell you that it doesn't, we're not feeling sorry for ourselves. That's what they'll say.
Yes, they are.
How does it help? So what we do is we'll pick up a question in group therapy and then we'll discuss it.
Yeah.
And then I'll get to hear your opinion and you'll get to hear mine. We'll get to hear Roger Clinton's opinion. We'll get to hear Oprah's opinion. We'll get to hear everybody's opinion. And then we'll be better for that. Yay?
That's how that works most of the time.
And then hopefully you gain some benefit from hearing other people's perspective. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, what do you got going on today?
Not much today. Today's kind of a quiet day. Did the lawn this morning, you know, chores.
You mowed your lawn? I bug bombed my house yesterday.
Yeah?
Yep. Bug bombed it. I got one more room I got to do today, and then I'm done bug bombing. So make sure that...
I always like bug bombing.
You do.
I do. I like bug bombing the house. Cause it does. It's like, you know, I'm not saying that you have weird things in your house, but it's always fun to just get rid of that stuff.
Really? I didn't realize you like bug bombing. That's interesting.
Yeah, bug bombing's fun.
What do you, how do you bug bomb your house? You use the little canisters, you set those off and you leave for a couple of hours, come back, open the windows
put up all the food part, you know, the dishes and stuff, wrap that stuff up. You gotta make sure you're not bug bombing open things that you eat off of plates and... Yeah.
Don't
bug bomb that stuff.
Don't bug bomb that. Right. The No, so yeah, so I bug bombed yesterday. And then what else did I do? Went up to LAX yesterday, took Patrick. He's off to a wedding in Denver, Colorado. And so he'll be there for the weekend. And what else? That's about it. You know what's really cool as your kids get older? When people call you, for instance, a friend of my son, my oldest son, John, who's a captain, had to go back up to North Dakota for a funeral. He and his wife and my grandson, they went back to where we lived in North Dakota. So I get a call from my buddy. I call my buddy, the chef. So I call the chef. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
He goes, nothing. He said, I just got back from this guy's funeral, and I saw J-Mac. I said, what J-Mac? My J-Mac? He said, yeah. I said, he's in North Dakota? He said, yeah.
I have a friend named J-Mac, too, but you don't know him either. So what J-Mac are you talking about?
Exactly. And I said, no kidding. Now, John worked for him. He washed dishes. He was a busboy and a waiter for him. And
right.
He's as close as John has to a second father. And taught John how to roll dice, and John's a foodie. John's like you. He's a foodie and grew up in a restaurant and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he said, you know what, man? He said, he's a good man. He's a good, good, good guy. And it's like, you know, as your kids get older and you raise them right and you encourage them to do good things, it's one of the, again, another Grinch-like experience in terms of your heart. When people say good things about your kids and stuff like that, and you know, and their dads and their husbands, you're like, I may not have done a lot right in my life, but I did a few good things in my life, and having good kids and getting compliments about them is another cool thing. Let me read another email. So let me get this straight: you two ass clowns are rolling around like John the Baptist and Moses?
No, I don't like using words like that. I don't. No. No.
Hold on.
No, definitely not.
The email goes on. First of all, I love the stories that you both tell as you guys kind of go down this road of discovery. I want to know that these discussions inspire me to not to be afraid to engage people, because I believe you're onto something. So, to both of you ass clowns, well done. Thanks for the inspiration. I will endeavor to make a difference as well. I've shunned that previously. I didn't want to really go there. But I think the simple truths that you guys talk about, you're not getting over it. You'll learn to coexist with it. Stop drinking. It's okay. Be gentle with yourself. You're going to have bad days. All of that is stuff we know to be universally true, and it resonates with people. I know it resonates with me when I hear you guys talk about it. So although I often don't like to give you two compliments, I will say you are onto something. Keep it up. I think the word that lady used, tsunami, I think that's a good word. Keep it up, boys.
Yeah. So do I.
Wow.
Thanks, Libby. I do like that word.
Yeah. Yeah, normally I use it when I talk about a tsunami of shit coming at somebody. But in that case, no, it's a tsunami of good. And I don't even know the right word. It's almost like a peace, Mike. You know what I mean? That somebody, you're seeing them go like this. Whoa. I'm not as fucked up as I thought I was. No, you're not. You're okay. You're normal.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. And when you see them, they have this, I'll never forget, one of the experiences of mine was in Fallujah at the RCT-1 CP, talking to a young Marine, and you know, a 13-year-old boy had been killed in Fallujah. He had stopped to watch, and a firefight broke out, and they look down the street after it ended, and they see a bike and something behind it. They go running down, and here's this 13-year-old kid with a gunshot wound to the head, and he was already dead. But, you know, they're trying to save him. The doc's there and all the rest of the stuff. And none of it works out. And I heard that he was really struggling with it. So I sat down and talked to him. And that's the one I tell the story about. I looked at him and said, you think you're fucked up, don't you? And he raised his eyebrows and he says, I don't know. And I said, right, what's everybody always say? Well, you're not. I said, well, you are. And he started laughing. I said, but you're fucked up like everybody else here. And I said, you're going to learn to live with it and we'll help you. Right. And but when it makes you cry, just tell people you have allergies and then go wash your face. It's all right, man. It's all right. And then yeah. I stopped some gunny and I said, hey, gunny, you ever have, and I know he's a fucking 0369 gunny. You ever have nightmares? You ever can't sleep? And he's like, no, so I'm good. And he says, and then gunny says, anything else? And I said, no. And he started walking right. I said, hey, one more thing. He said, what's that? I said, tell the truth. And he smiles and he says all the time and then turns and walks out. I said, hey, look, it's okay. And, Mike, honestly, I'll never forget that day because he looked and smiled, and that's when I said, you see those pussies from World War II? 70 years later, they're still crying about that shit. And he looked at me and goes, sir, they're not pussies. And I said, I know that. But if you watch them cry, what would you say? And he started laughing, and he says, I love watching that stuff on the History Channel. You're not going to get over it, man. It's okay. And he looked at me. And he's just like, hey, sir, thank you. And I'm like, no, man, it's okay. Just that's from a gunny. That's my company fucking gunny at Alpha Company 3rd LAR, Lance Y. And that got passed on to him from some guy from Vietnam. So just help other people. And so that's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that is cool.
All right there, Mr. Wonderful. You have a good day.
All right. And from Louis Armstrong.
This is, I'll send this to you, but this is a song called Hurt that Peyton Davis sings. And so I kind of use it during the program now, so I'll send it to you. And
I was listening to some of her stuff. Actually, don't tell her, but I bought some of her stuff up.
Nice. So. But you know what? It sounds different to me knowing her. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but...
Well, it sounds different to me not knowing her. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You're a goofball, man. I swear to God.
No, you're a goof. Talking about your feelings like this? Okay, Tinkerbell. See you later.
Yeah, I know. Because I do. Gunner's got feelings, boys and girls. Gunner's got feelings.
Yeah, it's what makes the whole thing go. You give a shit. Right? It's why you do... Right. It's why you did what you did for so long. It's why you got involved in the lives of Marines. It's why Mike Wishnia crossed your path. It's why Jeremiah Workman crossed your path. Right?
Because I give a shit.
Yeah. For better or for worse, man. All right. Have a good day.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. See ya. Yeah, you can buy it. Peyton Davis, check it out. Wipe your lips off my face. Here's another email. Mac, I listen all the time. I love you and Mike, from your fighting to everything else you talk about. But I want to encourage both of you to stay on this, because I've never heard anybody talk about this stuff the way you guys talk about it. Veterans as exporters, to quote you, Mac. Stay on this. You could hear it in the gunner's voice when he was telling the story of crossing paths with this girl. The effect that it had on him to help somebody else, to be a calming influence in their life. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I smile whenever I hear this. I know the song's called Hurt, but it reminds me of my conversation with her. And it reminds me of her, right? Where she is relative to the pain that she experienced, you know, with her father's suicide. And also what she said about being a member of our tribe. Yeah, it's a cool tribe. Come on, who are you? We're not kidding anybody. All right, that'll do it on a Thursday. So, thanks for listening. I know I'm supposed to play Back in the High Life again, but I'm kind of partial to Hurt now. But it sounds more normal to hear this. Have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily. Yeah, think about it. Exporters, man. Being evangelists. And it is a bit of that. I'm not going to lie to you. You might not see yourself as such, but you might be that. And you know what? It's not a bad thing. And I think, you know, most of us have done it in our own little orbit. But maybe it's time to get out of our orbit and do it on a wider stage. How do you do that? Because I can tell you this, it feels awfully good and makes your burden not feel so heavy when you begin to help others. Have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily. We'll see you tomorrow. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio is over and out.